Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 17. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And the Bible says in verse 11 that this Levite was content. Verse 12 says, and Micah consecrated the Levite. We can't do that. There he is again. Because he thought pretty highly of himself. And the Bible says he consecrated this young man, and they became priests, and he was in the house of Micah. Look at this. It says, then said Micah, now I know that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. How do you think that's going to turn out? Now I know. You know, a lot of people think, now I know that God will do me good because I gave some money last week. I went to church last week. I helped somebody on the side of the road. I gave some money at the Salvation Army kennel around Christmas. And we think we're doing good because we've got some points. Sure. And then we feel good about it. Do you want to know a secret? When you do good, you will feel good. If you're saved or if you're lost, you will feel good if you do good. A lot of people have figured out, even in the lost world, they do good things. They're philanthropists. You know, these people like Rockefellers and those people. At a certain point, they got so rich, they didn't know what to do. They were kind of miserable. They thought, well, one guy, I think it was Rockefeller, he opened his door and he just saw people all day and thought, what's your need? And if he liked it, he'd give money to it. He'd go home feeling a little bit better. Now, I tell you, it's a principle. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive, right? So, you feel good. And a lot of times we soothe ourselves, but we never ask the real hard question, am I truly born again? Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, this guy has done something he has esteemed as good, and he feels like God's blessing is because something has worked out. And the reality is he's going to be a linchpin in a lot of problems. Verse 1 of chapter 18 says, in those days there was no king. See, that says again, he wants you to know. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. You might think in your mind, what? Didn't Joshua divide up the land? Yes, he did. And didn't they get an inheritance? Yes, they did. But they never took it. They could not conquer that people. They were really supposed to be right in the heart of, right up by the Mediterranean Sea. They were where Samaria and all that. They were supposed to be in that area pretty much. And they were to have that as their inheritance, but they never took it because of lack of faith, lack of diligence, lack of desire, whatever. And there were some people in there that were a little scary. Boo. And they ran. They're hiding out on the outskirts. Now listen, that's kind of didactic for all of us. You know, we're told that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Already, it's yours. That's exactly what they were told. That's your land. But they never took it. And many believers never take their position as a child of God, as a prince, as a king in God's economy. We are soldiers, kingdom of priests, and kings unto our God. We're going to rule and reign with Him one day. If we've suffered with Him, we're going to rule and reign with Him. These guys didn't take their inheritance, and people who do not suffer with Christ will probably be benched through the millennial kingdom. If you suffer with me, you will reign with me, but if I've never really suffered, you can work out the dynamics of that for yourself. But that's my reading. The Bible says that they sought an inheritance to dwell in, for unto this day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. Everybody else got theirs, these guys did not. The Bible says in verse 2, and the children of Dan sent out 5 men, and they came to Micah's house, and they lodged there. So he not only has a house of gods, but he has a place to lodge in. He probably is beating people that come through, and then he sends them on their way. Now, these are 5 men. They come in, and they heard the voice of this Levite somewhere in the distance, and they knew this guy. They knew him. Hey, what are you doing here? In verse 3, it says at the end. What are you doing here? And he told him what Micah had done for him. I'm his priest. Verse 5 says that they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way, which we shall go, shall prosper. Underline the words, our way, if you would like to, because this is an interesting word to use, our way. Well, what we know about their way, if we're thinking about it, is we know that their way is in the direct opposite direction of God's way. They're supposed to be going back. They've gone over to Ephraim. They're going to go up looking for a place to live. They're going the wrong way. Let us know whether our way. As I said a moment ago, Psalm 1, it says that the way of the ungodly will perish. And interestingly enough, this Levite is asked, is our way going to be blessed? Will it be prosperous? The priest says in verse 6, go in peace before the Lord is your way wherein you go. What a kind of murky, messed up answer. Did he say, yeah, it's going to be good? You know, before God is everybody's way all the time. And some people's way are the ways of destruction. Some people's are the ways of life. He didn't really say anything, but they took it. Oh, there it is. You know what? This is what a priest or a preacher or any minister who comes into the world who wants to please people, they try not to offend. And this is that. He says, before the Lord is the way you go in it. Now listen. If somebody is told that, except they trust Jesus and that He's the only way to be saved, and if that's offensive to them, they're going to choose a different way. But I can say this with authority of the Word of God. If they choose a different way, they're going the wrong way. And they may not like me if I tell them that. I'll try to tell them as, you know, gently as I can if it's a one-on-one and a friend or something. But man, that's just not the right way. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way. The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So you see it, right? He's saying before the Lord is the way. He said nothing. And they take it for what they want to hear. And that's what's happening now. The Bible says in the last days in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, it says in the last days men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, not willing to endure sound doctrine. You know, you and I know the real deal when you see it. If I were to ask you to name somebody that you know really, really loves the Lord. I mean, really loves the Lord. Pretty much, we have an image. Even if we don't know somebody, we know what somebody would look like. There's certain things that we catalog through our experience. And I believe the Lord gives us a little bit of a special grace to recognize it. Because there's so many false things out there. And I want to just say to you that that's not as common to find people who are the real deal. Sadly, as it should be, right? And the question is, am I that guy? Are you that person? See, because we need to be that. Because there are people who need to know the real deal. The Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. The Bible says that some have not the knowledge of Christ in Corinthians. And I speak this to the Corinthians' shame and to ours if we are not trying to help them to know. So I say to you, he actually tells them something that they can construe to be blessing. Prosperous for them. Verse 5 says, these five men departed. They went to Laish. They saw the people that were there. And he said they dwelt careless, meaning without care. Not careless like we think of today, but they dwelt careless, quiet, and secure in verse 7. Well, this looked great. Now, the lay of the land is such that they have nobody close by. There's a valley that they're living in. They're far away from the Zidonians. There's a big valley and a wall. So even when they do what they're planning on doing, nobody will come to their aid. The Bible says, so they went back in verse 8 to their brethren and they said, man, you need to rise up, verse 9. You need to go against them. Don't be slothful to go. Verse 10, look at this. For God hath given it into your hands. You see how the nonsense can be amplified? I put God on there. You know, people in the world are fond of saying, I swear to God this happened. It means nothing. It's a verbiage. It's like, why do you need to swear to God? In fact, do you even believe in God? Sometimes they don't. They're just using that verbiage because it brings some sort of authority to what they're saying. Guys, listen, we're living in a time like this, right? The Lord is in it. He's going to give this to you. These people are minding their own business. They're living the dream in the promised land. It's a nice little city. It's not very big. And the Bible says these five guys go back. And it says, the Lord has given, verse 10, this into your hand. So they sent 600 men. That shows you what they thought of that place. It was a small area, perfect land. And they sent 600 men. Now, when they came on their way back, the Bible says in verse 13 that they passed thence unto Mount Ephraim and they came to the house of Micah. This is 600 men. And the Bible says that these five men said, listen, there's a priest in there with a house and gods and teraphim and ephod and all this good stuff. What do you think you ought to do about that? and they're standing leaning against the wall filing their nails. It's like, they're just suggesting, I'm not saying anything, but what do you think? Well, these guys are out to maraud and to steal, and that's what we started with, stealing. So what we started with was idolatry. This is Israel, for crying out loud. We're thinking, what? And so the Bible says that the five men said this to them. And it says that they came to Ephraim. They came to the house of Micah. And it says that these men told them about the ephod, the teraphim, in verse 14. Verse 16 says, and the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gates. Talk about intimidation. They've not entered the city, but they've gone in like a troop, and they're on either side of the doors of the gates of this town. And they're not taking the town here. They don't want this town. What do they want? Well, they want that ephod. They want that teraphim. They want that molten image. They want that priest. And the Bible says they stood by the entering of the gate. Verse 5 says, and the five men that went in to spy out the land came in thither and took the graven image. So these guys really wanted it, and these were their muscle. These guys went in and got it. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war in verse 17. Verse 18 says, and these went into Micah's house, and they fetched the carved image, and the ephod, the teraphim, and the molten image. When then the priest said unto them, what are you doing, in essence? Verse 19 says, hold your peace, lay thy hand upon thy mouth, and go with us. Look at verse 20. I'm going to just read through it quickly so you see the general thing. And the priest was glad. The priest was glad. He found a better deal. He found more. He wasn't a shepherd. Jesus said, I am a good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. He says, many are going to come and they're going to be false shepherds. And when the wolf comes, they're going to bug out quickly. They're going to get out of dodge. They're going to leave you to your own devices. This is that guy. People, priests, princes. Is that a problem? They all come from the one same place, but here's a whole nation that's out of control because somebody lost the script. The priest was glad. And then Micah, realizing he had just been wiped out socially, monetarily, spiritually, verse 22, it says, the house of Micah overtook Dan, and they said, what ails you? What's your problem? He says, you've taken my gods that I've made. And you think, Micah, can you hear yourself? Can you hear yourself? They are gods that you made. You know, when we come down to the end of our lives, we're going to be on one of two ways. We're going to either be on the way of the ungodly or the way of the godly. We're either going to delight in the law of the Lord, or we're going to be that person who lives as if we're ungodly. Okay, we have no God. There's no God. Even though we believe, we say, I believe, but we're ungodly. Psalm 1 tells us. Two ways. The way of ungodly is going to perish. You come down to the end of your life. You're going to look back over your shoulder. You're going to see what the lay of the land really is out there. You're going to say, what have I done? And you're going to realize that either you have created your own God, or you have the God of the Bible, and you have constantly gone in there to find in the Word of God and remind yourself of what you need to do, how you need to be. It is not a vote, okay? This is not a democracy. This is a monarchy. King Jesus is over this kingdom. You and I are the subjects of an awesome God who's coming again. He's going to help us with this problem that we have of constantly turning to the left and the right. Little by little now, one day all at once. The Bible says when we see Him, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. It's going to be okay. You're going to kind of limp for a while. You're going to get up and walk a little straighter, and hopefully straighter and straighter and straighter until you stand before Him, because you're going to begin to say that the only thing that keeps me balanced is not my smartness. It's my love. It's when I'm loving this person that I walk straighter. It's when I'm loving that person that I'm walking straighter. And that is the defining principle of the Christian life.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.